What a full day we've had this morning. It's been an emotional up and down. And I will tell you this. It is an honor to serve alongside a real man. Not that Lance is all that tough, burly and outdoorsy. Not that he is weathered by the world and manly, although he is those things. Make no mistake about it. But Lance is a real man because he stands before you this morning real, emotional, humble, all of those things, broken. Everything that it is to be human. And he serves along with other men just like that, that are emotional and humbled and broken and available, authentic. When I think of a shepherd, one of the most important characteristics of all of the qualities that we see, all of the qualifications, for lack of a better word, and there are a lot better words than qualification, because as Lance says, nobody's qualified for this. I mean, to lead God's people in His church, to be responsible for their souls, who's qualified for that? But as we read through all of the qualifications, the qualities, whether it's Titus, Timothy, or Peter, one that is not spoken but is definitely implied by all of them is authentic, sincere, a real person. So if I could get Wes to go back one slide to that passage. He says, it was He, it's God who has appointed some to do this and some to do that, to fill this role, to fill that role. And he goes on and he says that all of this is so that the whole measure of fullness may be attained by the church. It isn't just so we can look and say, oh, what a great guy this is, or what a great gal she is, and oh, what good things. No, there is a purpose for this, and we are all headed in a direction and accomplishing goals established by God. Remember Ephesians or Philippians, it says that it is He who wills us, who wills inside of us to do and to want His good pleasure. The things that we do, the things that we want to do, God has already given those to us. He says, so I'm putting people in place to do some things. And it says that you want to build up, reach unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. And then he says this curious thing about being infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men. You see, there are cunning and crafty, deceitful people. And he's not talking about out there. He's not. He's talking about in here. Now, before everybody gets scared, who's cunning and crafty? He's just saying, authenticity, sincerity, not trying to be lorded over or not trying to get their way or their benefit or for you know their riches and their power. There are those in the church that it is all about them. All about them being seen as a good person. All about them being heralded and acknowledged. All about them being held up and looked at. Jesus says, that's not my shepherd. That's not my servant. They're deceitful and crafty and they're in it for themselves. But a shepherd's in it for the sheep. Which brings me to kind of the title this morning. If you're not a shepherd, you're a sheep. There's a lot of roles to be played in the church. There's a lot of things to be done and jobs and all kinds of things, but we have to understand a couple of things. That there are shepherds and there are sheep. And if you're not a shepherd, you're a sheep. But we all have responsibility. Ephesians 4:11 through 16, we just got talking about it. It is God who appoints us to be who we are. God says, I need this one to be, because we all can't do the same thing. If we're all rowing the boat, nobody's looking where we're going. If we're all swabbing the deck, nobody's rowing. If we're, you know, there, if everybody's telling everybody else what to do, then nobody's getting anything done. So we're not all the same job, and it's God who determines that. And then in John chapter 10, I love this passage. I tell you the truth. Man does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. Man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all that he owned, he goes out ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow the stranger. In fact, they will run from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. There's a lot of imagery in that passage. There is a gate. That is Jesus. Read further on. Jesus says, I'm the gate. I'm the one that the shepherd gets to the sheep through. And then there's watchmen who open the gate. Now, the watchmen are those who preach the Jesus, who tell us. But either way, Jesus is the gate, and Lance and the other shepherds are getting to us. It works. Are getting to us through Jesus. And that's how you know they're sincere, that it's only through Jesus, only through God's grace, they can serve and lead. But of the people mentioned in this verse, the shepherds and the sheep, the fact is that what this passage teaches us is that it isn't about who's doing what. It isn't about who's more important. It isn't about anything of that. It's about we are all in this together. Whether you're a sheep or whether you're a shepherd, we are all in this together. We don't get to create unity. We get to join unity that is already taking place. Ephesians has already told us that what we're doing here is building ourselves up to unity of faith. And it isn't that we get to make that unity. Unity is already taking place. The unity between the God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and His Son. Unity among the saints. Unity in all those who agree that God is God and Jesus is His Son and His Holy Spirit is real and active and alive and is transferred to us. That unity is taking place. We don't create it. We just join it. That's what we do as shepherds and sheep, is join the unity that's already taking place. And today is about having that healthy flock. Today is about us committing ourselves. It isn't about one man saying, hey, yes, I'll take on some responsibility. It's not about other men saying, oh, thank you, someone to share the responsibility with. It isn't about us saying, okay, we've got somebody else that we can blame when things go wrong. It isn't that. What today is about is all of us agreeing, I want to be a part of a healthy flock. I want to be part of something healthy, active, working, unified. Somebody, I want to be part of something making a difference, leading others into the sheep pen so that the Father can make them one of His own. So what does a healthy flock look like? Well, this morning I want to talk about three characteristics of a healthy flock. The reality is that everybody has a job to do in a healthy flock. In Ephesians, we were told that He says, it was He who gave some to be this and some to be that and some to be that. And nowhere does it say, and then there's some that He didn't give anything to do. Nowhere does it say that, you know, there are some in the church, in the body, that are just not really fit for anything. So really, there are two types of Christians, as I can see it. And in John chapter 10, he says, look, the watchman opens the gate for him, the sheep listen to his voice, he calls his own by name, and he leads them out. When he's brought all of his sheep, all that he owns, they all follow. All of them. So what I have determined, what I have, not what I've made up, but what I have deduced from Scripture, is there are two kinds of Christians. Two kinds. Regarding what we're talking about this morning. There are those who are doing something. Who are fulfilling the ministry that God has given them. And we all have that. There's some, you know, those who are doing something. And then there are those who need to start doing something. So, this morning, the challenge is not just for Lance and the other shepherds, it's for each one of us to think, and I'm not talking about, oh yeah, I have a job, I get up and I go do this and I, you know, work at McDonald's or I teach, you know. No, in the church, spiritual, how are you using that job you go to bring others to Christ, to fulfill the mission? So this morning, I want you to think about, what Christian are you? Are you a doing something? Or I need to start doing something. And if you're not a doing something, it's not too late. Don't think, oh, well, I guess I'm just not a good Christian. No, not at all. You're just one that needs to move from the start to the do. Because there's no other options. All of the sheep get out of the pen and follow. Next thing, not only does everybody have a job to do, but every job is important. You know, one of the things that I'm reminded of as I watch, you know, and the Baxters are very into the theater. And we have Spencer, who is, what play are you in? Pride and Prejudice. That's probably a very intellectual thing because I've never read it or seen it. But I know Charlie Brown. See? But you know the thing about the theater? There is no small parts. There are only small actors. There are no small parts. There are only small actors. There are only people who think that they need something more important to do. Every job is important. It is He, God, the Creator of all that we see and know, that gave you whatever it is that you have found to do or that you have been led to do. It is God who's asked you to do that. Do we want to question what God has asked us to do? I'm reminded, when I think of small jobs in the church, I'm reminded of Paul. I've probably used this example before. But do you ever think Paul was ever envious of those, you know, those big time apostles in Jerusalem? I mean, really really doing something in the church, you know, leading the church in Jerusalem and making policy and leading worship in the epicenter. I mean, the ground zero of the church. And he's thinking, all I'm out here doing is this correspondence ministry. I wish there was something bigger for me to do than just write all these letters that are probably not going to amount to anything, that nobody's ever going to read. See, whatever it is that God's called you to do, do it. Because it isn't how well you do your job. That's not the issue. It's how committed to doing it are you. How committed to the cross, how committed to the kingdom, how committed to doing that job for the glory of God. Because I believe as Paul sat in jail cells and sat in rental homes and sat in as in ships, and as he wrote these letters, he urged his brothers and sisters to be who God's calling them to be. I don't think it ever crossed his mind that, oh man, that I can do all things through, oh, that's good. That's going to be on a t-shirt one day. I don't think he ever thought that. I just thought he's thought, I'm just doing what God's calling me to do, what needs to be done. Every job is important, no matter how big or how small. You know what's a really small job that goes unnoticed? Chair ministry. Chair ministry in this room right here. But you let 2 or 3 weeks go by that these chairs aren't fussed over, and you'll notice it. Because there are people over here who will have all kinds of leg room, and these guys right there will be crisscross applesauce because they have no leg room. Somehow, these chairs have a life of their own. And you come in here, and they're scooched, and that is there. And not only that, but your preacher gets so distracted if they're all whoppy-jawed. So if they're straight, then that's one less thing that can cause me to have to preach longer. But that's a joke, but it's not really. I mean, that's something. I mean, if somebody just said, "Hey, I'm gonna show up and I'm gonna water the flowers here. I'm gonna water the plant." Now, not these, because these aren't real. But those out there are. You know, I'm gonna water. Just show up and do something. I'm gonna make a phone call. I'm gonna send a letter. I'm just gonna something small. Watch God grow that into something big. Every job is important. The last thing is everyone follows the Good Shepherd. This isn't about Lance or Al or Dan or Ward or those who have come before him, like Tom or Dick or Bill or Earl. This is about the Good Shepherd. The Shepherd who didn't figuratively lay down his life, but literally. And the thing about the Good Shepherd is that all his sheep follow him. And we're all in the same line. I mean, we're all in the same line. You know, think about that when you're going somewhere and it's a line or it's a mob or it's a crowd or whatever, and we're all going toward, you know, we're all, it doesn't matter who's at the front or who's at the back or at the sides or whatever, we're all in the same line and we're all going to get there and we're all experiencing the same thing. So this isn't really about us at all. It's about Him. And following Him. And talk about scary. The scary thing is that our shepherds, Al and Dan and Ward and Lance, they're not leading us to activities or programs. They're leading us to a cross. They're leading us to a cross. They're saying, "I'm willing to get on that cross myself." And I'm telling you, they do. They lay down their lives every day. Every day for this place. For each one of you. And they inspire me to do the same thing. To lay down my life and say, there is nothing more important than the body of Christ. The question is, will you follow them to that cross? We're going to sing a song. This world is not my home. I hope we believe it. Because this world is chock full of disappointment. It's full of disease. It's full of disappointments. It's full of brokenness and sin. And there's one way out. And it's on a cross. Will you follow our shepherds as they follow the Good Shepherd? Together we stand and as we sing.